Chapter 5, The Pattern of God. The pattern of God for revelation by the Spirit is the same as His pattern in creation. In creation first comes the physical, then afterwards the spiritual. Revelation, therefore, is predicated on first understanding things physically, and then its spiritual application. We see this demonstrated beautifully between Adam and Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:43-50. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are also those that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are also those that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth incorruption inherit incorruption. This, again, is the concept that the last shall be first, and the first will be last. Let me reiterate. What comes first is the physical in creation. The physical is the pattern, the example. The true, spiritual, is the reality. With this in mind, there are several properties of the physical that we should take note of. The physical creation is temporary. It was not made to last. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. The physical is seen, testifying to what cannot be seen. Romans 1:18-20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known about God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. The physical is a copy of the unseen, a figure or allegory. In this way we see Adam as a figure of Christ. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin had entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But as not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be made dead, how much more through the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as if it were by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is by of many offenses unto justification. In fact, all the laws, statutes, and ordinances of Israel's worship were figures. Hebrews 9:21-22. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all the things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. 23 and 24. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place which is made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. The physical creation and the letter of the law that governs it are only examples and shadows of better things to come. This is the difference between the laws that govern the physical and the laws that govern the spiritual. All physical laws work like boundaries. They govern finite properties. The spiritual is the true, and which is infinite, and limitless. Hebrews 10, 1 through 5. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. This is great revelation. The pattern of God reveals his will and purpose in mighty ways. For example, we see the truth that Jesus was always God's idea for man. The new man is the real man, not Adam. Adam was only the figure. He is the beginning and the physical type. The spiritual is our final state in creation, the resurrection of the dead. This brings us to the concept, the last will be first and the first will be last. The flesh exalts itself and is humbled. The spirit humbles itself and is exalted. In Adam we see the attempt to be exalted as God. Genesis 3:4 through 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Then man is brought low in death. In Christ we see God coming as a humble man, and God the Father exalts him through the resurrection, even to his throne. Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and the things of earth, and the things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In depth, first and last. The Spirit expresses truth in the Scriptures through the use of physical examples and figurative speech. These examples are usually in the form of true events in the people of the Bible's lives and the parables Jesus used to teach these truths. Like the parables, the meanings of many of the events in Scripture are hidden from those who place no value on spiritual understanding. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals these hidden truths to Christ's disciples, even as Jesus himself did when he walked on the earth as a man. When Jesus walked with his disciples, he taught them privately the meaning of his parables. Others were left to marvel at his sayings. Jesus explained the use of parables in Matthew 13:10-17. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? He answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Then he shall have more abundance, but whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, in hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears for what they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. These hidden understandings usually have a physical example that expresses them, like the parables of Jesus. The physical is a mirror of sorts. In the creation, we see the Creator, like an artist is seen in his art. We see wondrous revelation of the Father's nature and plan in his handiwork. In man, we see God because he was made to reflect him. Only sin has perverted the picture, muddied the waters, if you will. Sin has distorted the picture of God in the earth. It has also warped our ability to understand the spiritual by what we see in the physical. The new birth corrects this flaw by giving us a new nature, a spiritual one. As newborn babes, our eyes are then open to a new world. With this new sight, we begin to appreciate the Scriptures. The Spirit speaks to our hearts just as Christ taught his disciples. God begins to reveal certain concepts that enhance our spiritual life and understanding. These concepts work as keys that unlock the mysteries of God, mysteries of which we as Christians are stewards. Like the parables, these concepts are hidden in physical illustrations. The abstraction of first and last is one of the more profound. As Christians, we're all aware of the simple truth that first we're born physically, then spiritually. Let us indulge a little more reflection of this pattern. As I've stated previously, the primary part of our lives as spiritual beings came last. Of those two parts of our existence, the spirit is to have headship. Our bodies, or flesh, must be made subject to the Spirit's leadership. In Romans 8:5-13, we get a close look at the headship of the Spirit. For they which are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. This theme of first and last is one of the largest in the Bible. It is one of these keys that open many other portions of Scripture. With this skeleton key in hand, we can enter a door to a broader understanding of God's plan for us. Illustrations of this theme can be found in the book of Genesis in the stories of several sets of brothers. The story of Cain and Abel, we see one of the earliest examples of first and last, which is a picture of the relationship between the flesh and the spirit. Cain is figuratively of the flesh and Abel of the spirit. The first persecuted the last because he was favored by God. Abel presented a sacrifice of a lamb without blemish, the first fruits of his flock. In this we can see a shadow of Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. Cain should have bartered with Abel to present a lamb as a sacrifice as well, but instead he chose some of what he raised, the fruit of the ground. His sacrifice was one of self-justification. Abel understood that sin was covered only by innocent blood. He greeted the sacrifice of Jesus as man's justification from afar through the sacrifice of a pure lamb. He offered his sacrifice to God in faith. It was a faith based upon the truth that only innocent blood can cover sin. This is the concept of redemption. Cain, however, thought that if Abel was accepted for his first fruits, then his produce should be good enough for God. His understanding of the situation was warped by his lack of faith and his own arrogance. His sacrifice was cast aside by the Lord, and Cain, in his jealousy of God's regard for Abel, slew his younger brother. The first persecuted the last for his righteousness. The first son sought to justify himself and hide his sin from God. The second son looked in faith for God to justify him. So it is with the flesh and the spirit. Cain, like the flesh, was rejected. In the Bible, this theme is reenacted over and over again. The first son is rejected, and the second one accepted. Genesis 4:1-16. I'm going to stop there.